From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Take a look at the potential impact of the changed U.S. EPA RFS rules if the leaked document is actually true and something does happen to them. Daryl Good will be here to explain what might be the cause and what it would do to the price of corn. A hint, maybe not as much as you think. And then a bit later in the program, we'll hear about the weather forecast from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Don Day's out of the office today. And I'll ask you along the way to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Settlement prices in the corn pit look like this. The nearby contract in December at 443 and three quarters, up 6 3/4. March at 456, 6 1/4 higher, and the May corn at 464 and a quarter, a settlement price up 6 cents. July of next year at 471 and three quarters, up 6 1/2 cents. In December of 2014 at $4.84, that would be the new crop corn. It's up 5 1/4 on the end of this Tuesday afternoon. November beans for the day at $12.67, a settlement price down 6 cents. January, $12.66, down 5 3/4 in the March at $12.55 3/4, 3 1/4 lower. The May futures, $12.44, down 1 1/4. July contract down 1 1/2 at $12.40 1/2 in the November of next year at $11.64 3/4. That finished 0.5 cent higher for the day. The bean meal futures at $4.02.40 were down 50 cents, and the bean oil up 27 at $40.66. The soft red winter wheat finished July at $6.88 3/4, down 5 1/4 for the day, and the hard red at $7.34, down 5 1/4 as well. Checking in on the live cattle, the October contract, 92 1/2 cents lower, at 128.52 1/2 for the day. December at 132.72 1/2, down 42 1/2. The feeder cattle finished the October contract at 165.75. That was down $1.62 1/2. And November futures there at 167.47 1/2 were down $1.92 1/2. And that's a look at the markets in Chicago. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Those all come before 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then a chance of showers, some thunderstorms after 4 as well. It'll be a cloudy day, a high of 70 degrees on a south wind at 14 to 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 26. The chance of rainfall in the area set at 70% today. Tonight, a chance of showers mainly before 7 in the evening central time. Mostly cloudy and a low of 44 on a west-southwest wind at 10 to 14 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 20. Rainfall chance at 30% in the area. And then tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a high of just 60 degrees. West winds at 9 to 16, gusting to 23. Partly cloudy on Wednesday evening with a low of 41. Thursday, a 30% chance of rainfall. Partly sunny otherwise, a high of 58 degrees with a west wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 41. Friday, sunny skies and 62. Friday night, mostly clear and 42. Saturday, sunny and 58. Saturday evening, cloudy and 38. And on Sunday, sunny skies and 58 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 42. And as we start the work week next week on Monday, partly sunny with a 60-degree high. Hey, if you haven't yet pledged your financial support to Illinois Public Media and to willag.org, please do so right now. It's easy to do. All you have to do is pick up the phone at 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. It only takes about a minute and a half. Now would be a great time to do it at Illinois Public Media. Support agricultural programming from the University of Illinois. You can do it online, too. Just hit contribute now up at the top of the web page, willag.org. However you listen to us, online, on the radio, give us a call right now at 217-244-9455 and pledge your financial support.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, and that means you participate in our financial livelihood just as much as we may participate in yours. In fact, we hope we participate in yours much more than you'll participate in ours, but we would like you to pledge your financial support to willag.org and to the public radio station it comes from. That's WILL in Urbana-Champaign. No matter how you listen, on one of our radio stations or online, please do pledge your financial support to encourage you to do that. Some of our agricultural services and loyal ag friends have gotten together to create the Fall Ag Fund Challenge. And if we hear from at least 100 pledgers this week that mention Will Ag, we can add $2,250 to our pledge total. Thanks to AgriGold and Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County Branch, Strategic Farm Marketing, and the Andersons for their help in this endeavor. About 40% of the budget that comes to operate the local radio station, that's WILL, that this originates from, comes from you, our listeners. So it makes a difference. Dave Dickey, your director of agricultural programming, and I both would like you to give at the $120 level. $240 would be really good, in fact. Less is fine, more is fantastic, but however you do it, just give to the station, make a financial pledge. You can do that with your credit cards, American Express, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, all those sorts of things. You can write us a check. You can just call at 217-244-9455 and make a pledge and not send the money, at least just yet. It's really fast. It's simple. 217-244-9455. You can do it quickly. If you're on our website at willag.org in the evening and you're listening to us online after you're out of your combines, you can also do it then. Just hit contribute now. That's up at the top of the page at willag.org. But whatever you do, make sure you take time this week to pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media and to the agricultural programming it brings to you every business day of the year. Again, the number to call, 217-244-9455. When you do this week, if we hear from 100 of you and we need to get this started, we really do, because the folks at AgriGold, Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, and Strategic Farm Marketing, along with the Andersons, will put in another $2,250 into our kitty. Thanks to them, and thanks to you for calling 217-244-9455.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, corn futures made a little rally late in the day. Tell me about it, please.
Well, you know, we saw corn be a little higher when we came in this morning. Was just about steady last night. Then it seemed to inch its way up starting about 10:30 and worked on to close near the high of the day. The only news that we could really pick up was that there was a couple boatloads sold out of corn sold to China off the Pacific Northwest this morning, and some of the funds were getting to the sidelines, and they'd been short corn, long beans, short corn, long wheat, and they were undoing some of those spreads here because of the government's non-action.
Well, it looks like, speaking of the government non-action, there is some news that's trickling out. Inspections were around for corn and soybeans. Did you see those this morning?
I didn't see those inspection numbers. I did see that the NOPA crush come out a little above what in the 108 bracket. We were looking for the 106 bracket, so that was a little bit positive and showed that we had a little better stocks, and they did use them up there early.
What are your expectations for the coming week from both the U.S. government and from the farm field?
Well, from the farm field, you know, of course, we got this little bit of rain coming across. It'll slow us down a day or so, but we're going to get back in. These beans are starting to wind down in our area, but the corn harvest is going to pick up and pick up rapidly here in the next week, I think. So yields continue to stay very strong in our area, and from what we're hearing along the way, it's going to be a good harvest 10 days coming up here.
Have you been keeping track of the harvest price for crop insurance and what that might mean for producers in the future months?
You know, if they're in the areas where they're just producing the normal yields as usual and not the like the above yields that we're getting in our area, why they could be getting down to where these prices could be a little bit of revenue payoff for them. But in our area, the yields are probably pretty good, and we're going to see the payments aren't going to be very big over in our area.
How's the trade been reacting to the U.S. EPA's released document, I should say leaked document, on a potential change in the RFS?
You know, it seemed to hit the first day, and we had a little reaction and thoughts about it, but it seemed to have been pushed to the background, along with all the other lack of government reports, in that they don't know for sure what to think. I think it's troublesome that it was even there to be leaked, and I think that there's a lot of talk that the price of ethanol compared to the price of gas is going to have more to do with it, that we might be able to export more corn for ethanol. But it is bothersome to me that, you know, with the kind of yields that we're looking at, the kind of corn supply we're looking at, that we don't have that RFS standing behind us. It might make for a little lower trade later on.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. One note on the RFS. We will take that up in a webinar this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you have the opportunity, join us live. If not, after the fact. That's at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. You know, once in a while, I produce a story that really sparks the interest of our listeners. And they'll ask me about it sometimes months later. In fact, I was asked about this following story several times during the Farm Progress Show and at other events that I've attended over the last 6 or 7 months. It ran earlier in the year, but I thought now, ahead of Christmas, might be a really good time to run this story again on vintage aerial. You know, millions of farmsteads in the U.S. have been photographed from the air. And those 35-millimeter films, well, they're still around. And it's really possible to take a flight of sorts through time and your old neighborhood. Those hand-painted photos that hang on the walls of most farm homes in the United States were taken long ago. And the films, well, they still exist. Tom Wolf of Vintage Aerial is more than willing to take you on a flight through your neighborhood. Just log on from any computer.
You'll see a picture of me and my family in front of my barn, and that's how I got connected with this company. I bought some photos for them over the years, and all over the country they've taken aerial photos from a small plane. And back in the day, they used to send salesmen door-to-door, and they'd show the pictures and sell enlargements, and they saved all the film over the years. And so the photos that I have for you today are from 1966.
That's right. He said 1966. And get this, there are 26 million farmstead photos in the library from 41 states. And Tom Wolf, well, he's a great guide.
What I have in front of me is the map that was actually in the plane with the pilot when he took these pictures. Now, this is the coolest part because as we scroll through here, not only do you are you looking for your picture, but you get to see all your neighbors' properties, and it's kind of like walking down memory lane and seeing. Did you grow up in this area, by the way?
Yeah, actually, the first place we're going to, as long as it comes up, is where I grew up.
Okay.
That's
well,
this it.
No kidding. You'll probably recognize all these places since you grew up there. Now, this is the next farm north.
Yeah, that's the Conradis.
Okay. Now we're moving on down the road.
That's Altman's. That nice round barn is gone, or the round top. That's the Theobald place.
Okay.
And that's Steve Walsh's. That is my brother Larry's place. And that's Larry's place from the flip side. Hold it, that one right there.
This is the one you're looking for?
The answer is yes. Mom and Dad bought this place in 77 or 78. And the home that you're looking at was built in about 1860. And the question at the time when they bought it was whether they were going to bulldoze it in or remodel it.
What'd they do?
They remodeled it.
And Tom Wolf from Vintage Aerial let me relive that memory and create one from my home that I couldn't possibly have done on my own. And he can do the very same for you right there online at VintageAerial.com. Vintage Aerial, of course, sells copies of the original photos and the online tour, The Flight of Memory. is part of that process. I produced that story earlier in the year, brought it back because, well, it's about time to order again for the Christmas season, and it didn't make it out last time before Christmas. Thought you might be interested. Vintage Ariel at VintageAriel.com. It's a great place to find all those farmsteads that you might remember as a kid.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is here now with today's Agricultural News.
In Agricultural News, Dr. Robert Fraley will see his lifelong work celebrated this week as one of three new laureates at the World Food Prize Dialogue in Des Moines, Iowa. Fraley and a team of scientists isolated a marker gene and engineered it to express in plant cells. The scientists produced the first transgenetic plants using the Agrobacterium transformation process. Continuing their work, Fraley and others created more elaborate plant transformations by modifying seeds to resist insect and herbicides. In 1996, Fraley led the successful market introduction of Roundup Ready soybeans. The World Food Prize has become a premier week-long event in Des Moines. The Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether the Environmental Protection Agency overstepped its authority in developing rules aimed at cutting emissions of six heat-trapping gases from factories and power plants. The justices will review a unanimous federal appeals court ruling that upheld the government's unprecedented regulations aimed at reducing the gases blamed for global warming. The case will be argued in early 2014. Beijing agreed today to make London a center for handling investment denominated in China's tightly controlled currency. The announcement came in the middle of a five-day British trade mission to China, led by Finance Minister George Osborne. Investors in London will be allowed to apply for licenses to invest yuan directly into China. Coca-Cola says its profit rose in the third quarter as global sales volume edged up 2%, fueled by performance in emerging markets such as China, India, and Russia. For the period, Coca-Cola says it earned $2.245 billion, or 54 cents per share. A year ago, the company earned $2.31 billion, or 50 cents a share. Revenue fell 3%, though, to $2.03 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and that means you're part of the program, too. We do need your financial support, whether you listen online or on the radio stations. However it happens, just dial in now with your pledge of financial support, 217-244-9455. It's quick and simple and easy to do. And it's the right thing to do. If this program means something to you each and every business day of the year, then right now, show us that at 217-244-9455. Up next, you know, the corn prices have been on a long retreat from that peak way back in September of last year, and the price decline into this harvest has reached the lowest level in nearly 4 years. As you'll hear, the most recent weakness reflects both supply and demand considerations. On the supply side, ongoing reports of yields that exceed expectations in many areas suggest the next USDA yield forecast, whenever that might come, will be at least equal to or perhaps exceed the September national average yield forecast of 155.3 bushels to the acre. Well, there's still some uncertainty, of course, about the magnitude of the harvested acreage, That won't be cleared up either until the USDA releases the next crop production report. Even so, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, it appears the corn harvest will be large enough to result in a sizable buildup in stocks by the end of the current marketing year, the fall of 2014. So the supply of corn is building based on the size of the crop. It's also building, thanks Good, on the lack of demand and even some uncertainty from normally stable quarters.
News on the demand side has been the leaked report of an EPA proposal to reduce the magnitude of biofuels mandates under the RFS beginning in calendar year 2014. The reduction in the non-advanced component of the mandate from 14.4 to 13 billion gallons has been interpreted as a negative development for corn demand in 2014 and beyond.
The production of ethanol made from corn in the United States over the last 3 years has ranged from 13.3 to 13.9 billion gallons. The production this year, 2013, will be within that range. Next year, however, because of the potential change in the RFS, things are less clear. Good says it depends upon the RFS mandate, the magnitude of the domestic blend wall for ethanol, the extent of the use of RINs credits to meet the RFS mandate, the net trade balance for ethanol, and the magnitude of discretionary blending of ethanol, if any. Here's what Daryl Good thinks that all means.
Reduction in the RFS mandate for renewable biofuels has generally been interpreted as a negative development for corn demand. However, a broader consideration of the potential impacts suggests that corn demand, and therefore prices, in 2014 might be largely unaffected by such a reduction.
Good is saying even if things at US EPA remain the same, the price of corn will be low. Still, here's how that change might happen. Depending on the final magnitude of the RFS mandates in 2014, discretionary ethanol blending will likely have to be in the form of higher blends, most likely E85. The ability to expand E85 consumption would be influenced by blending economics of E85 and the rate of increase in the infrastructure required for deploying E85. More dedicated E85 gas pumps would be needed. If the final rules resemble the leaked rules, says Daryl Good, ethanol RINs prices will be very low, and blending economics for E85 will be determined primarily by the retail price of E10 and the price of ethanol. The price of ethanol is primarily determined by the price of corn. The current retail price of E10 gasoline near $3.30 a gallon would require corn prices near $3.70 to make E85 competitive at the pump on an energy equivalent basis. Persistently low corn prices, then, could motivate an expansion in E85 infrastructure and discretionary blending of ethanol. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's sponsored by you, our listeners. Dial in now with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. We hope that the program makes a difference to you. If it does, won't you pledge now at 217-244-9455? Or if you're listening online, just hit Contribute Now up at the top of the page at willag.org. It's in that little red rectangle at the top of the page. Contribute Now at willag.org or 217-244-9455. We like the $120 level, but any level is perfectly fine with us. What really matters is that you participate in the programming at 217-244-9455. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather with meteorologist Drew Lerner.
It's National Roast Pheasant Day. The pheasant was not native to the U.S., but rather was first imported in 1733. But it was not until 1881 when some 100 pairs of Chinese ring-necked pheasants were released in Oregon that the bird gained a foothold in America. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, child labor and child abuse issues caught public attention in the U.S. when a 9-year-old child named Mary Ellen was found in the home of her guardian suffering from malnutrition, serious physical abuse, and neglect. But there were no child laws on the books, so the court ruled against the guardian, turning to laws that regulate pets. Prosecutors argued Mary Ellen was a member of the animal kingdom. By the way, early attempts at child labor laws excluded agriculture. In 1889, Sir Daniel Gooch died, an American railway pioneer and inventor. He laid the first successful transatlantic cable, allowing telegraphic communication between the U.S. and Europe. And in 1930, Herbert Henry Dow died, an American chemist and industrialist. He was a pioneer in the U.S. chemical industry, and he founded the Dow Chemical Company. As a young man, Dow entered the fledgling chemical industry in the 1890s by inventing a method of extracting bromide from prehistoric brine trapped underground in Midland, Michigan. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do dial in now with your pledge of financial support. Again, the number to call, 217-244-9455. Don Day is out of the office this afternoon. Drew Lerner is here in his stead.
Significant rain occurred across portions of the northern U.S. plains in the western Corn Belt overnight. Some of the impressive amounts included some 1 to 2 inch plus totals that occurred in eastern South Dakota and some random locations in the eastern part of Nebraska. There was also similar conditions reported near the Fargo, North Dakota area and also in the south central and interior southwestern North Dakota. A lot of that precipitation will set back fieldwork now for a while for two reasons. Number one, parts of the northern plains in the northwestern Corn Belt had seen some previous rain, and the ground is becoming more wet at this point. There is a cooling bias that will likely be occurring in this region as well, and the combination will likely lead us to an environment here where drying rates will be slower, and so therefore fieldwork will not be able to advance quite so quickly across the upper parts of the Midwest. And the area we're talking about in general is really from the Dakotas through Minnesota over to northern portions of Wisconsin. The rains that were more significant in Nebraska and western Iowa overnight were occurring in areas that were plenty dry, and they should firm up very quickly. So the delays in fieldwork in those areas will probably not be nearly as persistent as they may be a little bit further to the north. For the rest of the Midwest, the rain totals associated with this current storm system will not be nearly as significant. A cool front will likely be responsible for the precipitation as it cuts through the central and eastern parts of the Midwest today and tomorrow. The rain totals will probably run a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch most often. There may be some 4 and 5 tenths of an inch amounts in some locations. But for the most part, the frontal system is just not likely to hold together well enough to generate enough precipitation to cause serious setbacks in field work. We'll be back into the fields fairly quickly following this event, and that will help to promote further harvest progress as we finish out this week. Now, one of the fundamental changes that occurs in weather across the Midwest after this system moves through is a change towards colder weather that will be moving southward from Canada as we go into the latter part of this week, the weekend, and next week. And the waves of cool air that come through will each carry with it a chance for some showers. Both rain and snow showers will be possible. Most of those snow showers will occur at night, and we're expecting to see the precipitation mostly quite light. But nevertheless, there will be enough precipitation occurring on a periodic basis in Michigan and Wisconsin as well as Minnesota to keep field work from advancing very well, if at all. Some of the showers will work their way down into northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and northern Ohio, maybe even northeastern portions of Iowa at times, but the precipitation in these areas will be infrequent and mostly light and not really very disruptive to farming activity. And the further south you go towards the Ohio River Valley, as well as Kansas and Missouri, you probably will experience drier conditions and will anticipate good harvest progress continuing. We are going to look for some frost and freezes developing Friday into the weekend in the western portions of the Corn Belt, maybe some of the northern areas as well, but the impact is not expected to be very great.
Meteorologist Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City helping us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. One last time, if you haven't yet, dial in your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. And thank you so very much. I'm Todd Gleason.